is inheritance. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with the American Legion, presents another story woven from that wonderful fabric of dreams, ideas, and achievements that makes up the tapestry of America's past. Today, Thanks for America, the story of a happily discontented man.
Yonkers, 1889.
Yeah, Steinmetz. That is right. That is my name. I am just new over in America, 2 weeks. But I find a job here in Yonkers. It's today, so I see right away I must thank America for being so good. So I come here, the place to take out citizenship papers.
Yes, Mr. Steinmetz. Your first name, please.
Carl Frederick August. No. No, wait a minute. New country, new life, new job. I'm a discontented man, never satisfied, always new things. And that is an old, heavy name, Carl Frederick August. I would have a new name, Charles, American for Carl. And for the middle, I think what they call me at school in Breslau.
That was?
Proteus.
Proteus?
Yes. Son of the god of the sea, ever changing. He knew the past, the present, the future, all the answers. I do not know them all, but I like to look for them. Now, you are sure you have that right? Charles Proteus Steinmetz.
Yes, Mr. Steinmetz. Everything is in order.
Good. Auf Wiedersehen.
Oh, did you hear that, Tom? Character, little 4-foot windbag. He wants to thank America. And so particular about that name of his. Who'll it ever mean anything to except him?
The name didn't mean anything to the people who were to hear it soon at a meeting of the American Institute of Electrical Engineers, called out in that high-pitched, accented voice from the rear of the hall.
Steinmetz! Charles Proteus! I have a question for the speaker, please.
Yes, Mr. Steinmetz.
Who the devil is that funny little man?
Might be the new foreigner at Eichemeyer's works. Draftsman, engineer, something.
I am a new member of your society. Very new. It is permitted to ask questions?
Oh, yes. If any occur to you after our rather exhaustive treatment of the subject.
They occur. What about the third harmonics?
Third harmonics?
Yeah. You see, your equation, it cannot be carried further, worked out more completely. You have not included the third harmonics. Well, I will work out the third harmonics for you and bring them to the next meeting, thank you.
Well, thank you, Mr.
Steinmetz, Charles Proteus.
He did work them out and took them to the next meeting, and some of the older members made a note of his name then to remember. In the next months, he had his hands full of his own problems to work out at Eichemeyer's. Rudolf Eichemeyer, a manufacturer of hat-making machinery, had looked at the unprepossessing young man who had knocked on his door that first day, asking so politely and painfully in his new English.
Do I have the honor to speak with Mr. Rudolf Eichemeyer?
And seeing the lost, seeking look in the eyes, Eichemeyer had answered with the precisely right words.
Sprechen Sie Deutsch, bitte.
From that moment, they were friends. Steinmetz had landed in exactly the right place at the right time. Interest in electricity was drawing Eichemeyer into new fields. Dynamos, electric pumps, motors for new horseless streetcars. They didn't have much to go on. They had to feel their way.
It is a waste, Mr. Eichemeyer, a great waste. To make a motor and test it to see what it can do, and then if it does not work, throw it away and start again. No, we should know what it will do before we build it. We should do it in the head first and on paper. Test that way and then build the motor.
We should indeed, Charles. And we would, if we could. But we can't.
Oh, what you have said. We do not know that we can't. We only know that no one has found a way yet. Mathematics will figure it out. My man Grossmutter said I was very slow to learn my multiplication tables. Well, now I will make up a new set of tables for motors. And these will be a little more advanced.
They were the laws of hysteresis. On January 19, 1892, Charles Proteus Steinmetz announced his findings. This time, he was the speaker on the platform of the American Institute of Electrical Engineers, not a voice calling from the audience.
Now, with my tables, it will be possible, without further calculating, to discover the power loss for a particular volume of magnetism. You can test your motors in paper now before building them.
At 28, Steinmetz was standing in the front ranks of electrical engineers. The name was beginning to be known. Later that year, there was further evidence of it.
Charles.
Oh, come in, Mr. Eichemeyer. Good morning. What's new?
Well, I do have news this morning, Charles. We've sold out to General Electric, that new corporation just starting up, and they I guess they bought you along with our patents.
Me? Along with the furniture, perhaps, Mr. Eichemeyer?
No. They knew your name. They asked about that young engineer, Steinmetz.
Ah, they knew my name. Good. Will I be able to work on problems for them, too?
Yes.
Yeah. Then it is all right. I will miss you very much, my friend. But General Electric and Steinmetz will be all right. Paper and pencil and problems. Yeah. All right.
Problems. Electricity was all problems then, 1892. Many of them worked out by flickering lamp wicks, throwing more shadow than light. They moved Steinmetz to Lynn, Massachusetts, and set him up as head of the calculating department. On paper, that sounded the perfect place for a mind that could carry logarithms as easily as 2 times 2.
Hello, Lewis. Sutton?
Graham.
You en route to consult the Supreme Court, too?
Supreme Court? What do you mean?
Oh, I thought you'd heard that. That's what we call Steinmetz down here. Whenever we have a problem, we pop in and put it up to him. It's quicker and easier than working it out on paper. I've got one today. Listen in.
All right.
Charles?
Ah, hello, visitors. Good morning. What's new? Come in. We make room for you. We just push something off this chair.
Oh, we can't stay, Charles. I have a problem.
Huh? Yeah.
Now, if you drill a hole 2 inches in diameter through a plate 2 inches thick, how much material is removed?
2 inches in diameter, the hole, and 2 inches. That would be 5 3/100 cubic inches, Graham.
Just like that, in his head?
Well, thank you, Charles.
Can't you stay, gentlemen?
Not just now, Charles, but thank you. We'll be back.
Wow. Without a pencil, even.
You see what I mean? Like lightning. And if we figured it out on paper, we just prove him right.
And so Charles Proteus Steinmetz was promoted to consulting engineer. And that proved to be exactly the right place for him. He still got his beloved problems thrown at him, but they were the prize ones, the tough ones, the challenging ones, the tempting. There were more than enough of these in 1893 and 94, and the most challenging was alternating current. They always came round to that in their sharp arguments those days, Steinmetz and his fellows.
Graham! Graham!
Oh, Charles, come in.
Remember our talk? Couldn't calculate alternating currents, you said.
I remember arguments, not talk.
Well, I can calculate with it. I've worked it out.
Honestly, Charles?
Yeah.
Not a joke now.
Nine.
Seriously, you've licked it?
Seriously, honestly, I've worked out a method, symbolic method, I call it. You see, direct current flows from A to Z, always constant, same direction, same value until you break the circuit.
Yes, sure.
Well, it is easy to calculate that. You know its value, amperes. But alternating, well, it flows from A to Z and then Z to A and is never constant in value or direction. Mm. We cannot figure it at any mathematical value, but have had to use a complicated function in time. Well, can't calculate it that way, so I've taken a general number to...
A general number?
Yeah. Higher and more complex than ordinary numbers, and with this as key, I have... What's the matter, Graham? You're shaking your head?
Trying to clear it, Charles. I can't follow you. I'm sorry, I'm out of my depth, and I'm afraid a lot of other engineers are going to be.
Ah, yeah, but it works. It is a way, and they've got to understand and use it.
You seem to be able to understand anything you set your very great mind to, Charles, but I don't know if that will help you to make others understand. I don't know.
Yeah. You speak very, very truly.
I never thought I'd be sorry to see you solve a problem, but this time, Charles...
Yeah. This time.
Mr. Charles Steinmetz will now continue with his explanation of the symbolic method of alternate current calculation. The International Electrical Congress has allocated him an additional 10 minutes.
Only 10 minutes, Mr. Chairman?
We seldom allow any overtime, Mr. Steinmetz, and they are getting a little restless.
A little? You do not need to be polite. They are walking out on me, Mr. Chairman. I know that. But if I can make even a few understand...
Meeting to order, please. Mr. Steinmetz.
By setting up a general number as the measure of value, it becomes less. Symbolic method, it is possible to calculate alternating current phenomenon as easily as it has been in the past to handle direct current.
Time.
Mr. Chairman, that was only the introduction to my paper.
Mr. Steinmetz, there are only a handful of people left.
Yeah. And their faces are blank. I stand here in dreadful solitude. This matter is of greatest importance, and no one understands me.
I'm sorry.
I know you are, and so am I. Well, perhaps they may get more from reading it than listening to me. There will not be my accent in the way when the Congress publishes the whole paper.
But, Mr. Steinmetz, the Congress has no funds to publish it.
What will I do, Graham? I know how, I tell you, how man can handle this tremendous force, this power and light. That the whole profession should have the knowledge, but they won't listen. And no one publishes.
Charles, they listen. But like me, they don't understand. It's not that they reject it, but...
It is not that they won't take it. It's that I haven't given it properly. I'll go to Kremark. And so I came to your publishing house, Mr. Kremark.
It seems to me some electrical society should sponsor this, Mr. Steinmetz. It's very technical.
They have no funds.
Well, there's little market for it outside your fellas.
I'll make a market for it, Mr. Kremark. I'll go right down the line. A book for college engineering students so they can understand it. A textbook for high school boys to prepare them for it when they get to college.
Two books to sell a third?
Yeah, yeah.
My firm publishes the theory. And who's to publish the two preparatory texts?
You.
You are unorthodox, to say the least, Mr. Steinmetz. And audacious. I'll handle it on your say-so.
Three books to write. Years to do it. But when they were done, alternating current gave up its wildness and came into the homes and factories of America. Steinmetz helped design new transformers to keep it tame. And the long transmission lines went looping over the country, carrying power and light. One problem, a huge one for the world, solved. But plenty more, little and big. Some personal, like the affair at his beloved summer camp on Veeley Creek.
Well, it's a good party.
Good punch. Nice having it out here on the porch over the stream. Cool out here.
But not quiet. Everyone's out here.
Of course. The punch.
Isn't this porch is new, isn't it, since the last party?
Charles is always adding something to the place. Jay Hayden here helped him build it, didn't you, Jay?
Oh, I did a little.
Oh, well, Jay, where is Charles? Everyone is here but our host.
Well, I'll scout around inside for him.
Don't you stay too long, Jay. The punch bowl will be dry.
Yeah, right. Charles. Oh, Charles, here you are. Come on out. They miss you. Everyone's out on the porch.
Everyone?
Mm-hmm.
How many do you think, Jay?
Oh, 20.
20. Good. And the porch is all right?
The punch is fine.
No, no, no. Not the punch. The porch. Is the porch all right?
Of course it's all... Say, what are you...
Don't give me away. You know the porch was rather a slapdash job, and I am not too sure how substantial over the river.
Mm-hmm.
Just 2x4s. Well, Jay, when you have a poor, frail, twisty body like mine, you must be careful with it. So I have not ventured on the porch.
So instead, Charles, you throw a party and have them put the punch out there to lure everyone.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't collapse with 20, then it's safe enough for you. Hmm?
I like to work things out, Jay.
Jay Hayden was a young engineer at the plant who had worked with Steinmetz on development of streetlights and had helped him plan his camp. Now, through him, Steinmetz sought to work out an end to loneliness for himself. He had tried to add something beside work to his life before. He had raised plants, strange ones, prickly, odd-shaped cactus.
They are wonderful. They triumph over their handicaps. They are twisty like me. But they bear flowers.
And he had had strange pets that the children of the neighborhood flocked to see.
And the crows' names are John and Mary. Very tame. These are my raccoons, boys and girls. This is my trained alligator. Ah, yeah, yeah, he's very smart. And this ugly fellow, oh, don't let him frighten you. He's a Gila monster and too lazy to eat. I'm afraid I will lose him.
When his offices moved to Schenectady, he had bought property, built a laboratory, planned a house. But it was to be so big, and he was so small, and so alone. And at his camp after the parties were over, all his friends went back to their homes. And he was alone there also. Finally...
Jay, I have something to ask.
Yes, Charles?
It is not so easy to say, so do not answer too quickly. Think about it.
Sure, of course, Charles. What is it?
I would like to adopt you.
Adopt me?
You know I am different in appearance from other men, twisted and lame and like a dwarf.
Oh, but Charles, that doesn't make...
Now, hear me through, G. I will never marry, have a family. I want a family. You are of my profession. You are young enough to be my son or younger brother. You will marry and have a family. I would like to have your family as mine. So I ask to adopt you and your future with the wife and children it will contain. My house is so big and so empty.
Charles, I'd be very proud to be adopted.
So that was another problem he had worked out, first in his head and then put into effect. And he was ready for work again. The long power lines with their tamed alternating current now stretched their way across the country. Yes, over the open, unprotected country.
Steinmetz!
Graham.
I've got a new cause and effect for you. But I'll bet you can't effect this cause.
I think I'll bet.
That new transmission line to Elector. It's been knocked out by lightning.
Lightning? Now we must get to understand lightning.
Lightning hit the transformer at Dobie. Lightning knocked out the St. Matthews line. Lightning at Rexford.
Jay, I am going to Rexford to see the lightning damage, study it firsthand, and tell the staff I want a report of everything struck within a possible visiting radius, please.
Charles, you're going to look at all of them?
I'm going to win that bet I made with Graham. I am going to lick lightning.
For 7 years, Steinmetz traveled around America, studying blackened ruins, shattered trees, torn wires, the wreckage left by unpredictable lightning. To him, however, it was not wreckage, but...
clues! Lightning leaves its fingerprints everywhere!
Finally, in 1921...
Now, gentlemen, if you will be seated, we have a little demonstration ready for you this morning.
Demonstration? What is it, Charles?
You will see, Graham, you will see.
Oh, what now, Dr. Steinmetz? My paper asked me to...
Well, if you will be seated and hold on to your seats. A little further back there.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Safer.
Hold on to our seats.
Safer, Charles?
Keep your eyes on that block of wood with the wire attached. You ready, Jay?
Ready.
Let's go. Sparks!
Sparks, nothing. Sheet flame.
Shatter that wood block like sawdust.
Turn the wire to powder.
It's lightning. That's what it is. Lightning in the laboratory.
Yeah, Graham. Predictable lightning. Pay that bet. If we can make lightning, we can learn how to handle it. And we have made it here for you today. That was 120,000 volts. 1 million horsepower. Real lightning would be 500 million horsepower, but with our lightning machine, we can test lightning arresters for our transmission lines under nearly exact conditions. The show is over, gentlemen. You may examine the machine over there. Mr. Lewis will show you.
There are 200 of these glass plates in the machine. They're the condenser.
Well, do you feel like Jove, Charles?
Maybe a little. A very small Jove. Graham, it was a good show, no?
Good. It was tremendous.
And those reporters will really spread it now. No one will ever build a bigger or better lightning machine than this one, Charles.
Jay, if I thought you meant that, I would bring in plans tomorrow for a bigger one. Now, you're saying that to bait me. Of course there will be bigger and better in other machines. Don't ever be satisfied. Be discontented like me. I am a discontented man. A little like Jove. Yeah, a little. Gentlemen, remember, if you write stories, the whole staff worked on this, especially Mr. Hayden and Mr. Lewis. If you should put my name in your papers, get it right, please. Charles Proteus Steinmetz.
Funny little man. So particular about that name of his. Who'll it ever mean anything to except him? He wants to thank America.
And he did. With hysteresis control of magnetism, with the calculation of alternating current, with lightning arresters, with work on giant electric motors that helped harness Niagara, and tiny gadgets that run the electric mixers in home kitchens. A big thanks from a very human little Joe. Charles Proteus Steinmetz of Breslau and Schenectady.
You have been listening to Inheritance, presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with the American Legion. And now it's our privilege to hear from the chairman of the National Merchant Marine Committee of the Legion, Mr. Henry C. Park.
America's inheritance of seagoing vessels is exciting and adventuresome. Since the launching of Governor Winthrop's small 30-ton sloop, the Blessing of the Bay, in 1631, this country has established an almost unbelievable maritime history. The era of wooden, wind-propelled boats, culminating in the development of the long, narrow clipper ships, which could sail from Sandy Hook to Liverpool, England, in 14 days, was naturally a source of American pride. Next month, on National Maritime Day, we celebrate another famous milestone of accomplishment, for it will then be 136 years since the first transatlantic voyage of an American steamship, the Savannah. The newest and most revolutionary development in the saga of the U.S. maritime is the successful run of the Nautilus, first atomic submarine. It is significant news indeed that her sister, the Seawolf, is nearing completion, and that additional atomic-propelled submarines are provided for in President Eisenhower's budget. The day may not be far off when some merchant ships will be atomic-propelled. Will they be United States flag ships? Since I have been serving as National Chairman of the American Legion Merchant Marine Committee, I have sometimes been asked, what exactly is the merchant marine? Most of you know, I am sure, that merchant marine is a collective term used to describe the shipping industry generally. Any ship which is not a private yacht and not part of the U.S. Navy is in the merchant marine. Healthy international trade contributes powerfully to American pocketbooks. The American Merchant Marine is also fourth arm of defense and terribly significant to our national security in times of peace and war. Government aid and liberal mortgage guarantees are necessary for long-range ship construction, and it is vital that all Americans realize the important role of the Merchant Marine in securing and maintaining our American inheritance of freedom and progress.
Thank you, Mr. Park. Next week, Inheritance will take you on another journey through the pages of American history. Today's story was written by Dorothea Lewis. Bill Griffiths played Charles Steinmetz. Included in the cast were John Larkin, Bob Hastings, Jim Dukas, Sam Gray, Lynn Clark, Dick Hamilton, Michael Caine, Kenneth Repeat. Your narrator was Bert Cowan, and this is Roger Bowman speaking. Inheritance was produced by William Welch and directed by Daniel Sutter. This has been an NBC Radio Network production.
Today, hear the special program People in a Dark Room over most
NBC radio stations.